yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. We've got string beans and onions, cabbages and scallions, and all kind of fruit, and say, we have an old-fashioned tomato, Long Island potato. But yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
I love that song, Arthur. My grandmother used to sing it all the time.
I do, too. Did I tell you, my four-year-old niece cannot sing it because her father and mother have taught her how to speak correctly, and so she sings, yes, we don't have any bananas.
I guess I don't know why.
I said, no, Sydney, it's yes, we have no bananas. Say that. She says, yes, we don't have any bananas.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
No, it's not, but it's correct.
It is correct. Well, anyways, that was Bob Harned's version of it. And
Bob. And he has instructed me to point out that the strange sound is supposed to like be an imitation of like Rudy Valley. And
yeah, I love the old-time record. Yeah, the Mac.
You got it, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
That's because we're old-timers, Marshall.
We certainly are.
The young timers need an explanation.
Right, when we go to functions now, family functions,
yes.
We finally made it to the old table.
No more children's table.
That's right.
Speaking of old stories, tomorrow night, is the first night of Hanukkah, which lasts for 8 days. And I think everybody by now, every old timer by now has heard the story why. It's the festival of lights, and it commemorates a battle, a war between Assyrian Greeks and the Jews, and the Maccabees, the Jewish family, won. But when they got to the desecrated temple, they found that the oil for the eternal light, which, by the way, Catholics continue to use also, a light over the altar that always must burn, they discovered there wasn't enough oil to keep it burning. They only had enough oil for one night, and it lasted 8 days until they could get more holy oil for the lamp. And that's why this is a miracle, and we commemorate the miracle by lighting candles, or in fact, in the old days, we used to use oil lamps. In fact, they still sell. I see, here in Brooklyn, we have many Judaica stores, and I noticed that there are some oil Hanukkiahs, Hanukkah menorahs for sale. Anyway, hence, food-wise, the tradition, certainly among European Jews, is to fry something because it's an oil holiday. By the way, the oil of the ancient times was olive oil, and this is the season where olives are being pressed for their oil at the end of the year. In the deep south of Italy, the pressing starts in October, but there are still pressings going on in central Italy, I guess, maybe. And there's not that much oil in the north of Italy, but certainly around Liguria, the region of Liguria in the northwest, they have a lot of olive trees. Anyway, that's going on now. And in fact, many years ago, there was a pop-up store, is what we call them now, on Fifth Avenue, run by Orthodox Jews, that demonstrated oil pressing because olive oil is so essential to this holiday. Not that European Jews fry their foods in oil. We don't, because there was no olive oil in Poland. But there was goose fat and chicken fat and I suppose some other oil, but mainly chicken fat and goose fat were the fats of the day. And hence, we make potato pancakes, which are absolutely delicious, fried in chicken fat or goose fat. Although these days, for health reasons, people use... By the way, let's not get into the health benefits of poultry fat and vegetable oil, but most people would use some kind of vegetable oil to fry their... usually it's potato pancakes. But that's not the only food tradition of Hanukkah. There is also a tradition of eating dairy foods, foods made with milk and cheese on Hanukkah.
Like blintzes.
And I hate this. Pardon me?
Like blintzes.
Yes, you could make, but they're filled with, if they're filled with cheese,
yeah, cheese blintzes.
It fulfills the dairy part, and of course they're fried. So that's the frying part. Yes, why? Did you eat blintzes?
It just suddenly, as I was listening, as it turns out, and this is just, I dredged memory, but as you were talking, I just remembered that that was the, it was the time of cheese blintzes. And they were really
well,
good.
Cheese blintzes are also made for Shavuos, which is the ending and the beginning of the reading of the Torah, which happened just like, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. And we eat dairy then too, but the story that is commemorated by eating dairy on Hanukkah is really a gruesome story that I don't like. Judith, so if you're named Judith, here's your story. Judith was the daughter of a high priest in the temple. We're talking about the ancient temple. And there was a general who was trying to starve out the Jews. I forget what town exactly Judith came from, but this town was besieged, and people were, in fact, beginning to go hungry because they were running out of food. And Judith, who was a young and very beautiful young widow, went to this general, this Greek Assyrian general, and because of her beauty and her, I guess she was a fast talker too, she got in to see the general, and well, I'm going to fast forward to her last visit. She brought with her some of her own goat cheese and her own wine, because she knew he liked to drink and eat, and she made particularly good goat cheese. And she brought him the goat cheese, and he was so thrilled to have this wine and this goat cheese, he got drunk, and in his drunken stupor, she killed him. She chopped his head off with his own sword. You can tell why I don't like the story.
Yeah.
I have trouble with blood.
So joyful.
Also. And beheading, you know.
Yeah, I'm bad with beheading.
Yeah. It's such a violent, horrible story. And then we're going to be happy to eat cheese?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Why don't we skip dairy?
Anyway,
Hanukkah?
So she brought his bloody head back to her village to prove to everybody that she'd killed the big bad general. And as the story goes, when his men, his court, his henchmen, discovered his headless body, they were so scared they all ran off and didn't attack the Jews. So that's why we eat dairy on Hanukkah. I like the story of the oil much better.
So do I. The magic that was the good. I was.
That's a miracle, you know.
That's right.
You can tell it to children. I'm sure the reason I never remember this story is that this was not a story they told to children when I was a kid.
No, but it explains
what I. Pardon me?
I was just going to say, but at least it says where the name Judith comes from. You know how people, like, I didn't necessarily realize that Judith was a Jewish name.
A Hebrew name.
A Hebrew name, yeah.
Yehudit. Yehuda. In Hebrew, Yehudit, right. Yeah.
So,
I am going to be making potato pancakes this weekend. It'll still be Hanukkah on the weekend. Go visit my nephew and his family and make potato pancakes for everybody, not just the kids. And, of course, the kids usually want to eat something sweet. So the usual topping for potato pancakes, fried potato pancakes, is applesauce.
There you go.
There's the sweet. But if you want to combine the dairy tradition and the fried tradition, you can put sour cream on your latkes.
That used to happen at my house. Both were out there, and I'd have them all.
Yes, in my house, too. They were both. You had a choice.
Right. Same with us.
As a matter of fact,
and by the way, you don't have to make potato pancakes for frying. I happen to love matzo meal pancakes. So if anybody out there has some matzo meal, maybe left over from Passover, the matzo meal is basically inert. So it's still fine here in December, even if you bought it in March or April for Passover. It's fine to use. And I sometimes make matzo meal pancakes just because I love matzo meal pancakes. It doesn't have to be a holiday or anything. Although it is sort of one of my what to cook when you think there's nothing in the house dishes, because all you need is some matzo meal, which I always have, and eggs, and pretty much that's it. So, but for potato pancakes, you don't need that much either, just potatoes and onions. I, by the way, most recipes call for flour, but I do use matzo meal even in my potato pancakes, my latkes, because I find they produce a crisper pancake. And I'm like for my grandmother's recipes, I use onion. Let's think here, because I haven't done this in a while. I would say for a pound of potatoes, and I use russet potatoes, otherwise known as Idaho potatoes, which are starchier than your general, all-purpose potato, and I think make for a better pancake. And my grandmother always had them so they were very crisp around the edges, and so you don't want it too thick. So here's the deal. About a pound of russets, you use about a half a pound, which is a large yellow onion, normal onion, two large eggs, a quarter of a cup of matzo meal or flour. Flour is just fine here. Salt. You need a substantial amount of salt because potatoes require a good amount of salt. So for a pound of potatoes, we want at least 2 teaspoons of salt. You may even want a little more. I always fry off a pancake right off as a test pancake. By the way, the first few pancakes never come out as good as you want them to be. It takes a while for them to happen. By the way, a half a teaspoon of I use white pepper only because my grandmother used white pepper. You could use black pepper. It has a different taste. I have my own old joke, which is if you want your food to taste like your grandmother's, you have to use white pepper that was bought 2 years ago at least and stored next to the stove where it shouldn't be.
Exactly.
That's the flavor that's missing from a lot of grandma food. And that's about all. Now, the only thing is the method here. Now, a problem like with potato pudding, is that potatoes, once they are grated, start to oxidize immediately, and they turn gray and sometimes pink, depending on the acid situation. So I always start off with the onions, because if I grind up the onions, I do this in a food processor with the metal blade, and I pulse the onions until they're very fine, put them in a bowl, do the same thing with my potatoes. Now, my grandmother, of course, for all the many years of my childhood, grated the potatoes by hand. It was one of my childhood jobs to grate potatoes for potato pancakes. And we always used to say, and you get a little knuckle blood in there, it adds to the flavor.
I thought that was what the pink was. Joking.
No, but my grandmother was a young grandmother, and she lived long enough to own a food processor and figure out how to do this with the food processor. But let's remember, food processors didn't exist before, the 1970s. So I processed the potatoes about a third at a time so that you can control it better. And then combine it with the onions, and then I beat together my eggs in a little separate bowl and put them in, 2 eggs. and then I stir in my flour or matzo meal, and that's about it. My grandmother and I use a large silver spoon that I allow to get tarnished for this occasion, and a tarnished silver spoon or fork or whatever you have that's tarnished in silver will, from the tartrates on the surface of the silver, keep your potatoes white. And if you don't have a silver spoon, you can always put in a pinch of cream of tartar. That does the same thing. There are recipes, even I have tried this, using baking powder, but I don't find baking powder necessary. I don't want puffy latkes anyway. So that's it. That's my whole mixture. And I drop that into hot oil, usually just enough to make like a quarter of an inch at the bottom of the skillet, a little bit more maybe. And I drop it off of a large spoon, like a utility spoon. And sometimes if the batter is a little thick, I just press it down a tiny bit. And it should start frying very vigorously. But if it fries furiously, the heat is too high. Now, here's a little trick to figure out the right temperature of your oil. I use the handle, the wooden handle of a wooden spoon, and I put it into the oil. and when bubbles surround the tip of the handle immediately, then you know your oil is hot enough. And you can add, but you know, you always have to keep adjusting oil when you're frying. So make sure that the oil is hot, that the pancakes sizzle immediately. And by the way, if the pancake breaks up or is too thin or has too lacy an edges, you're going to have to add more starch, either flour or matzo meal. Only put in a tablespoon at a time more. You may need two, but not much more than that. You know, it all depends on the moisture content of your potatoes, which is why I say use russets, because this formula will work with russets. But if you're using a less starchy potato like Yukon Gold, then you may need more, period. So that's my latke recipe. However, a lot of people still, after all these years of learning better, are still fat-phobic and don't want to fry. Or maybe they don't want to fry because they don't like standing and frying. So this is a recipe that I got many years ago for a no-fry latke. It's from a former listener, maybe she's still listening, Elaine Kasdan from New Jersey. And I have made these many, many times. They are not really, you know, they're not satisfying my latke urge, you know, my grandmother's latkes, but they're very good in their, for their own sake, and they're really very healthy. So this is super easy. The oven needs to be at 425, and you're going to need two large cookie sheets. Now, Elaine Kasdan sprays hers with no-stick spray. I just as soon brush mine with vegetable oil. And then you make the batter. 2 cups of shredded potatoes. And you can do that on using the shredding blade of your food processor or the large holes of a box grater. It's a different style latkes than my grandma's. 1 cup of very, very finely chopped onion. 1 cup of wheat germ. There's your healthy part. 2 egg whites, no yolks. And salt and pepper. So you mix this all together. 2 cups of shredded potato, 1 cup of chopped onion, 1 cup of wheat germ, 2 egg whites that I beat separately, and then I mix in. That keeps it all stuck together. And the salt and pepper. And you drop this on your prepared baking sheets, about 1/4 cup of batter for each latke. And these you will, it's not so liquid, these you will need to press down. I just use the bottom of my measuring cup to flatten them out a little bit. And then you put them in your preheated 425-degree oven. That's a hot oven. for 15 minutes. And then you need to turn them. Turn and bake for another 10 minutes. So altogether, they're in there for 25 minutes. It's a long time. But they're going to be nice and crisp, especially when you turn them. And they may even have some nice crisp edges. And they're delicious, even though they're not my grandma's latkes. So there are a zillion million latke recipes out there, but I want to share one more with you because I thought this was amusing. Adam Rappaport is the editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit magazine. Very early in his career, I should say at the beginning of his career, he was my editorial assistant at the New York Daily News. Nice young guy. Now he's a nice older guy. And he once entered a Time Out New York Magazine contest for the best latkes. And it was called the People's Choice Award, and he won it in the amateur category. This was a James Beard Foundation annual latke cook-off. They just gave up. I don't know when they gave up this latke cook-off. It was a lot of fun, and in fact got them a lot more positive press than these awards that they give out these days do. But anyway, Adam Rappaport won the People's Choice Award in the amateur category with this recipe. And it's almost the same as my grandmother's recipe, except that instead of matzo meal or flour, and this supposedly is his grandmother's recipe, he used breadcrumbs, 4 tablespoons of toasted breadcrumbs. That's toasted breadcrumbs are the breadcrumbs you buy in the supermarket. Dry breadcrumbs, fine dry breadcrumbs are often said in a recipe. Again, 2 eggs. He uses smaller onions than me, but it'll amount to about the same, 2 medium onions. And for that, he uses 5 large russet potatoes peeled. And these are delicious. I have made these and using breadcrumbs instead. And he also, by the way, does put baking powder in his, 2 teaspoons of baking powder. As I said, I never really saw the need for baking powder, and I've done the baking powder thing, and it doesn't do anything. So there you go. And those, of course, you can top with applesauce or sour cream.
Yeah.
By the way, Adam Rappaport's grandmother's name was Maxine. He called these Maxine's latkes. I'm finding that my computer is a treasure trove of latke recipes. I have found at least, and then this is only searching for latke, I found 6 latke recipes, and I bet you there's some other ones embedded in here.
The question is, are they any good?
Well, I've made all of these that are in my computer, and I would say they all have their merits.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
They all have...
I misunderstood. I misunderstood, and the reason that I'm mentioning this is because anyone listening might just, you know, who's just thinks, oh, no, this is on your personal computer, not on Google, not through Google.
No. In my files.
Right.
In my computer files, right. But believe me, if you go online and you search for latkes, you will find hundreds.
Zillions. But
of latke recipes. By the way, this is not the only fried food that Ashkenazi Jews eat. Last year, I have to laugh about this, but whenever I have visiting Italians, they all want to go to Williamsburg to see the Hasidim. They get a big kick out of seeing Jews dressed in 18th century garb, which you would see certainly on Shabbos in Williamsburg, but also here in Crown Heights, which is closer to me, and also in Borough Park. But anyway, we're driving to Williamsburg last Hanukkah season with some Italians, and I see a line waiting to get into a bakery on the way. And I guess we were pretty much in Williamsburg already, but South Williamsburg. And I couldn't resist, you know, like, what's this line about? Well, what this line was about was this bakery makes, like maybe every hour on the hour, they're making fried donuts. They have them chocolate cream filled. They have them just plain custard filled. They have them jelly filled. You name the filling you can put in the donut, they have it at this shop, and they're freshly fried. So, of course, there was a line waiting. In fact, I'm expecting any minute now for a Facebook memory to come up, because Lavana Kirshenbaum, who's sort of the queen of kosher cooking in New York, Lavana was in the bakery with me, and she was so excited to see me in a kosher bakery on Hanukkah buying donuts that she took pictures of us and she put it on Facebook. Lavana is very active on Facebook. And I'm expecting, as I say, that to see that any day. I'll share it with my Facebook friends when I do see it. Time.
All right. Happy Hanukkah.
All right. I mean, I can't believe I went through a whole half hour talking about latkes.
That's about it.
Hey, made me hungry.
And the story of Judith. You can go look up this horrific story if you want, but I don't like the idea of commemorating the murder.
I'm not going to look up this story. I'm going to go home and I'm going to make some latkes today.
Sure you are.
Yeah, well, be careful. Weekend. They're not on your diet, Marshall.
I know. They're not on my
diet. So you can only have a few as a treat. And you know what? After the second one, you said, all right, I did that.
Yeah, that's right. That's and exactly do, right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like me with dessert these days. I have one bite and I say, okay, I can see eating the rest, but I don't have to.
All right.
But I could.
Happy Hanukkah.
All right. Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
All right.
Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.